listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fact to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney. That's right. You follow me on all my social media. Guess where? If you don't know by now, guess what? You're missing out. I am Sean Mulroney is my handle for every platform. And you should be following me if you're not now. I want you to. You go. I'll send some people out to make you do and follow me and come where I'm at because you need to. I'm pretty important. I don't care what anybody says, but you know I'm joking. No, I'm not really joking, but I'm just so glad to have another episode of the Obesity Revolution podcast. We're excited. Got some big things coming. You know, go to theobesityrevolution.com to keep tabs. You know, join our free group, our Facebook group. You know, you go there, anything you need. We got some exciting things and some great, great, great resources for you to get the help you need. And like you said, we're a lifestyle improvement program because it's not just about what you eat and about your exercise and about your workouts. And, you know, going to the gym, you can't go to the gym and expect to lose weight if your nutrition's not down. And so if you don't get that down, but if you don't get the mindset down, your mental health straightened out, and you don't get the support that you need, guess what? It is a rough go, and if you're doing it by yourself without the mind in shape, you'll never get your body in shape. I'm just telling you that from personal experience. That's how it is. It is what it is, and nothing less, nothing more. So, but you know, today I got so much more to say, but not only today do I have a guest, but I have a guest host. And his name is Mr. Robert Reams. What's up, Robert? How you doing, my brother from another mother?
I'm doing great, myth. Sean. How are you, man? I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So, and no, you know, Robert's no stranger to the health and fitness industry. You know, he knows it 38 years. Mm-hmm. For crying out loud.
Yeah, 39 actually.
You know, he's 30. I was 8 mm-hmm. whenever you started. Well, 40. No, I was 10. I was 11 whenever Robert started. No wonder I became obese because I didn't have Robert, you know, back then, and I did it my own way. You know, I am a bodybuilder. You know that, Robert, right? I tell you.
I knew that the first time I met you, man.
Yeah, well, I just built it with the wrong, you know, things, the carbs, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. So you built a different kind of body.
I did build my body. Oh, my goodness. But Robert, you know, he's also the trainer for the Dr. Phil Show for 19 seasons.
Yes, sir.
And he's just a down-earth and, you know, he's a celebrity. You know, health and fitness. He's been in it, you know, helped different challenges, everything. So he knows his stuff. And that's what the great thing is him knowing his stuff and me being on the other side of where obesity's at. Well, what Robert's doing, he's, you know, we're bridging a gap, Robert. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big gap between health and fitness industry, the medical industry, society with obesity. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I've called it, you know, I've talked about it for many, many years, ever since I got into the media and even before. There is a communication gap. There was and still remains a very big communication gap between the health and fitness industry and the people that need the help the most. Gap hasn't closed. I've worked very, very hard to close it. I've done my part. I've done amazingly well. I've had great opportunities and continue to have great opportunities. But this gap needs a lot of work. It needs closing. And I think you and I, Sean, are about to make a big dent in that gap here.
Yes, 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 we are. But by the way, Robert and I, this is a little bit of a surprise, but Robert and I are starting another podcast together. Mm-hmm. Okay, you ready? and it's called Bridging the Gap. Mm-hmm. And what our tagline is sympathy builds the bridge, empathy takes us over the bridge. So me being, I will explain it in the first show, so you got to tune in whenever it's going to drop. We're going to make a big announcement about mm-hmm. it, and we're going to do some major things. And Robert is the side of empathy. Of course, Robert, you've been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know what I'm saying? You got to tell that story too, Robert. Whenever you were, you know, a kid, you struggled with obesity.
Yeah, I did. And you know, that's probably 85% why I'm sitting here with you today, Sean, because when I was a kid, I was heavy. And, you know, part of my childhood, being heavy actually worked for me because it made me really good in sports. It was bigger than everybody. This was in elementary school, you know, from about fourth to sixth grade, when, you know, I just was a powerhouse in sports. I'd hit the ball out of the park, throw the football the length of the field, bump everybody around in the post like Charles Barkley in basketball. I mean, it really worked for me. But then kids kind of caught up with me around middle school, seventh grade, and I got all of a sudden got slow. And, you know, the big thing that probably, well, there are two things that helped me out of my obesity. And that person, that kid, is still on my shoulder looking at me every day and guiding me through. Mm. But the two things that got me out of it was my love for sports, because I remained very active and I just kicked up my activity. And, you know, we'll talk about some nutrition stuff here in a second, but I ate poorly. Not because, I mean, I just loved to eat. I loved junk food. I loved lots of it. And the more I ate, the better, you know, the further I could hit the ball, the further I could throw the ball. And the other thing that got me out of it was in middle school, you know, we started having school dances, you know, where it's like, wow, you go to the dance and you want to, you know, you want to maybe dance with a girl, or maybe, you know, in my day, it was like you had a girlfriend, maybe you carried her books down the hall or whatever, you know. Bob was the nice fat kid. Everybody was, I was friends with everybody, but no girlfriend.
Right.
And it was like, okay, this is not going to work for me. And at a very young age, Sean, and this is really important for everybody that listening out there, at a very young age, I realized that a diet was not the answer. I had to change the deal. And I knew that innately as a 13-year-old. Mm. And, you know, through, you know, 13 years through college, I mean, I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it wasn't really till I got out of school as a young adult and I became an aerobics instructor, you know, for the Sports Connection, which is a famous club in the LA area. That's how I got started in the fitness business. I got my weight under control and I got my nutrition under control and I got my perspective most of all. I got, like, you know, because that's what it's all, you know, look, we do what our minds tell us to do. We do what our inner dialogue guides us to. Mm. And I had to fix all that. And I laid down the law with myself. I said, you know, being heavy is not going to work. Being slow is not going to work. Having no energy is not going to work for me. It's just not. And I laid it down, and
your mind was changed.
Yeah,
you said it.
I crossed over the threshold. Like I wasn't going to go backwards. And now fast forward, 39 years later, I can do things, you know, now that I could do in my 20s, probably even better. I mean, you know, when you age, you can do that. If you keep things going, you can accomplish a lot what you can in your 20s. What you need is more recovery. But, you know, look, I'm maintained 9-10% body fat, and I'm not saying that because I want to be a fitness model. I don't. And we can cover some of that, Sean, because my perspective on that is very unique for my business. Mm-hmm. But I say that because you know, I walk the walk, and I have no qualms about saying that I'm very proud of it. I've worked very, very hard to get where I am. And I am not going to be shy about the fact that I walk the walk, and if you walk with me, then you'll be doing the same thing.
And Robert, that's what you've helped me out tremendously. Mm-hmm. I mean, there, you know, just the fact of knowing, you know, also about which we won't get into right now because I don't want to give it, you know, away. But the fact is that you have a lot of tools mm-hmm. and resources. Yep. But this is, like I said, you get there when we're a child. It's our very, you know, bet you two things you said. So it's our very structure. That's where we get impressionable is that we get impressed by our, you know, the impressions whenever we're younger. Mm-hmm. And two things you said to me, which I want to bring out. Mm-hmm. You said there was something when you went to the store, you know, you when you were a kid, mm-hmm. you would go and buy a whole pack of what?
Oh, well, yeah, this was, as a little kid, you know, my mom fed me very well. I mean, my mom made very nutritious meals. We never overate. We never got, you know, too much sugar or whatever. My mom was really good about that. Too good, because I didn't feel I was getting the treats that I wanted. And
oh, so you took it upon yourself,
I,
huh?
You betcha. I had a lawn mowing
little
business.
Bobby.
Yeah, I had a lawn mowing business, and I had a paper route that I shared with my brother. So I had cash. And if I wasn't going to get the treats that I wanted at home, I would go to what was the equivalent of the CVS back then. It was called Super X. I'd go to Super X, or I'd go to Dairy Queen or whatever. I remember a really good buddy of mine, God rest his soul. He's passed at this point from heart disease and obesity. But me and my friend Joey, we used to go to Super X, and we'd each buy a 12-pack of fudge bars and go out in the curb in front of Super X and just watch people, and we'd each pound a box of fudge bars. No problem.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All 12 of them on the curb?
All 12 of them on the curb, and, you know, we'd go out for pizza, and it's like, you know, I'm share pizza? What do you mean? I want my own pizza. You know, and I did it just because, I mean, it wasn't that I was... And to this day, I'm like, I always examine that. Was I running from something? Was I using food because I wasn't because I wasn't happy? No, I was a happy kid. I just loved to eat. I mean, I just loved to eat. And until I realized the health repercussions, the potential health repercussions, and the fact that I, you know, again, with, you know, being slow and the social aspect of being heavy as a kid, that's when I knew it wasn't going to work for me. But as far as just, you know, taking down food, I was all over it. And I had one of my best friends was Italian, and we'd go over there after school, and there's one of the, you know, old Italian moms that's, yo, Bob, come on, have a seat. Are you hungry? And she'd have pasta, she'd have pizza, she'd have chicken, she'd have all this stuff. She'd pound out a, you know, huge meal right after school, and then I'd go home and eat dinner. You know, that's the way it was.
Wow.
And I did that because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, wait a minute now. Okay. Boy. my mind's right. So here, a majority of people that are morbidly obese mm-hmm. in their adulthood, okay, mm-hmm. Have suffered some kind of traumatic experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or abandonment, mm-hmm. neglect. You never had anything like that?
No. Some, you know, in the people I deal with now, especially, you know, over the years with Dr. Phil, you know, weight comes on 99.555,000% of the time because of a bigger life issue. It, like you said, it's trauma, it's hurt, it's injury, it's loss, it's, you know, just there's so many things that, you know, and everybody that's heavy that is they're heavy as a result of something, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But mine was just,
but yours is, let me say something real,
yeah.
But yours is more genetic. It has, so
yeah, genetic.
Yes.
Yeah, because and that's a good thing, because I mean,
because being a kid,
yeah and I had a buddy who's still one of my best friends, you know, he was a beanpole, and he ate everything I did almost.
That's what I'm getting to. Mm-hmm. That's what's making my mind race, because you also said another statement without getting too far ahead. Mm-hmm. This is just good stuff. Mm-hmm. You said that at any time, if you gave 30 days, what did you say?
Oh.
To eating poorly.
Well, yeah.
Right now, even right now.
Yeah. Oh, as an adult, absolutely. I will tell you this, that, you know, and when, going back to what I said about walking the walk and being very proud of it, I'm in a position where mm-hmm. not only, I mean, you know, just innately, from my soul, I want to be as healthy as possible, and I exude that, and I put that out there. If you look at my social, I'm posting
yes.
videos all the time about that and different aspects
right.
of that. But listen, I live this lifestyle, which is why I can teach it so readily. And anybody out there, you've got to realize that if you want to be as healthy as possible or live your best life, and as far as health and wellness and longevity and energy and all that, you have to learn skills. I have skills, and I employ these skills all the time. Now, you give me 20 or 30 days, maybe not even that much, 20 or 30 days, and just let me pound out a bunch of junk food and crap like I ate when I was probably 11, 12, 13 years old. You give me about 20 days, and you have me back on here, you'd be looking at a completely different dude. Because this does not come, quote unquote, naturally to me. You have to work. And I don't want to overwhelm people with that. I don't want to say it's got to consume your life, because it doesn't have to consume your life. But there are skills which you and I are going to, you know, unveil to the world, you know, at any point here soon, that you have to use. And the reason the diet industry has failed so many people is because you don't learn skills. You know, you can't learn skills from counting points or throwing something, some box food in the microwave that has too much sodium, or delivered food. You learn no skills. And until you learn skills, you got nothing. Because it's a temporary plan that'll lead to a temporary result. And then, you know, you're swimming, all of a sudden you're drowning again.
Well, oh man, Robert, this is rich. Mm. So
it's the real deal, man. It's the real deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is why we're coming out with another podcast, Bridging the Gap, mm-hmm. because you know the side of it up until you're 13, you know, to your teenager, mm-hmm. and you got it off, you put into it, which is going to help my side of people that are struggling. Mm-hmm. So the comparison here is this. How can a kid think about this? You had another friend, it was a bean pole. Mm-hmm. I did too. Kids eat junk all the time.
Yes.
But why does one kid get fat and the other kid that's eating the same stuff not?
Well,
there's something. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People don't think nothing plays a part. No, we didn't. You just have to. Yeah, okay. That we've been lied to.
Well, I think somewhat, but you have to realize one thing about genetics. Genetics determine what can happen. They don't necessarily determine what will happen. So
what I'm saying. Yeah. You worked at it, mm-hmm. and you have to fight extra hard, mm-hmm. to get this off.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a good statement. They determine, they don't determine what you need to be. I mean, genetics says, hey, you have heart disease. Well, do everything you can to take care of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, diabetes runs in your family, you know, do everything you can not to get type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely.
So you're right on. But the thing about obesity that everybody says, because there's people that are 150 pounds that are 40, 50 that never gained a pound in their life.
Yep.
And they eat fast food 3 times a day.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's some of that's hormonal. I will tell you this, that if you look at genetics and you look at people that are, you know, up into your and my age and maybe even, you know, 10, 20 years younger and 10, 20 years older, you have your hormonal profile has a lot to do with that. And I will tell you this, like a female that has a high testosterone level for a female will be slender, will be more slender than a woman that doesn't have that testosterone level. And same with men. Men lose testosterone as they age for different reasons. They lose growth hormones. Same with women. So when your hormone levels, these hormone levels go down, your propensity to store fat gets raised up. So this is why I always encourage people to get sleep and strength train, because strength train helps that, you know, those muscle building hormones. And sleep deprivation kills you hormonally, because you know you then raise stress hormone, which is cortisol, which puts your body in fat storage mode, and your muscle building hormones you take a back seat. So some of that is hormonal, but you have to combine hormonal with lifestyle and perspective, because again, Just like I was as a kid, Sean, I can't go out and eat a 12-pack of fudge bars. I can't, you know, on a Saturday night when my parents go out and play cards for the night, I can't throw down 2 quarter-pounders of cheese, 2 large fries, and a cherry pie. Wouldn't work for me. And I don't know too many adults at this point that it would. But the point being is that you have to have some sort of, like, you know, again, skills, knowledge, perspective, drive. You know, to make this happen. And you have to know, you have to just have an innate sense what works for you. And what works for you is different than, it's different for everybody. But you've got to find that sweet spot for you. And this is what I do when I work with individuals. You have to remember, you know, I've been in the media for a long time, but I've also continued to be in the trenches with individuals. I have a program that I work with people all over the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. And I work with people, you know, day to day. And I help people to find this for themselves. Because, again, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach. You got to have these skills in order to be able to do this, you know, long term. You know, if you're trying to get, you know, in shape for your college reunion or, you know, your wedding coming up, yeah, I can help you with that. But I'm more interested in the big picture.
Yeah, then I appreciate that, because the big picture is what matters. Because you know, you can get a, you know, little snapshot, but it doesn't last. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just not going to.
Yep.
You know, the Kodak, you know, camera, you know, back in the day, you know, you get one, they're gone. Yep. And I'm, you know, that big picture, man, I want to have that big screen.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying is, with that being said, is that, you know, here's what we're doing, Robert, today. And I want to get into this. And what you have said is very profound. And I'd love that, because that's going to help a lot of people.
Yep.
Because here we are, two sides of the coin, but we're not. Mm-hmm. We're really two sides of the coin.
Yep.
But there is two sides of the coin, because we have people that have never experienced weight gain.
Yep.
And it's easy for people that never had a problem with weight gain or obesity to criticize those of us that are obese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they think, well, you're not really taking care of yourself. Well, you know what? Bottle up your hormones and give them to us, and then we'll take
it. Yeah, there's a lot of judgment. Like you said, there's a lot of judgment. And look, you know, I think that's, you know, what you and I have talked about this before, Sean, the obesity revolution, we're not enabling people to say, hey, come on, it's okay to be heavy and, you know, do what you're going to continue that lifestyle.
Yes.
We're a support group. We're a help group. We're a soft place to fall for some of these folks. But I want to help you. I'm not going to enable you. I don't enable people. I help you to help you, and that's what it's all about. And
I love that.
Yeah, and
I love that.
And the other thing too, I don't want to forget to say this, that for years, you know, me and my friend Joel Green, we talk about this fake fitness. You know, for years and years, it used to be Shape Magazine, it used to be Self. Now it's Instagram and everywhere. You see a lot of doctored up pictures.
Right.
You see a lot of people that don't really look like they look. And you know, this is part of, again, going back to that communication gap. This is part of the reason that people just throw in the towel before they ever start, because they don't think they can live up to that expectation. And they're right, because that expectation is fake. You don't want to live up to that expectation. And you know, I'm very, very specific in how I present myself, because, you know, I could show my abs. You know, I'm much older than most people that are listening here, but I've maintained my youth because of what I do. And I could show my biceps and my abs and everything, but you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. And any fitness professional or health professional that's listening to this, it's not about you. Don't make judgment on people. It's not about you. It's about the people that you can help. That's really, really important. I've held that position ever since I've been in the media, because when I see narcissistic fitness people model, if you're going to be a fitness model, fantastic. If you're getting paid for that, that's great. That's more power to you. But to use that to bring in somebody like, oh, because of how I look, I can help you. You know, that just doesn't, that's like saying, well, look, if I'm Clint Eastwood, if you look somewhat like me, you can direct, you know, a gazillion films and be a movie star. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
So I just wanted to make that point.
Well, that's a great point, which brings us to this. You know, my whole mission in the obesity revolution, okay, let's say that, us together, we want to put fact to the fat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That nobody is doing. It's like, okay, here it is, there's fat, but there's no facts. There's always opinions and always judgment, like you said.
Yeah.
But what we have done to come up with, to where we have these four pillars, Robert, is, number one, we want to identify the problem.
Yes.
Okay. We want to educate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which, what better educator than having Robert Reams, who knows his stuff for 39 years, been there, done that, and now turned it around, fought for it, fights for it, even now. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, we want to make sure we inspire others.
Absolutely.
That we inspire people to do what they need to do to take the next step. And then also we got to have engagement. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to have that, you know, if we don't apply, okay, and we don't go after what we need to do and really go out there and apply the truth that we hear, mm-hmm. we're not going to get there.
Right.
And that's what's very precious about today and the topic that we're talking about, okay, is that you wrote an article in HuffPost, mm-hmm. also on the, it's on Dr. Phil's, drphil.com website. Mm-hmm. And here's what you said, okay, which we're going to get into, mm-hmm. is that you said folks across America are under the misconception that you need to have mega bucks to eat healthy.
Yep.
And you said if you follow the guidelines and implement the following choices, you will save an incredible amount of money, mm-hmm. quote, unquote, Robert Reams, okay?
Yes, sir.
What I want to do today is I want to demystify the myths that you can't eat healthy and live healthy on a budget. Because, listen, a lot of people that struggle with obesity, Robert, are on fixed incomes.
Yep.
And they don't have the money, but everybody makes it look, hey, it's convenient. The convenient food is what everybody wants, mm-hmm. okay? So it's easy to do that. And by the way, we have, you know, our program that you're heading up is, you know, people buy pizzas. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost no more than a pizza a month. And yep. you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's just the cost comparison we want to show, and the value is going to be there.
And that's one. I mean, that's one pizza, by the way, everybody. That's not. That's not a month for the pizza. This is one.
No.
The cost for this app per month will cost you less than one pizza.
Yes, one pizza exactly. Mm-hmm. So everybody, and that's what I want everybody else that's out there listening. Mm-hmm. You can make excuses all you want to. And say, well, I can't do this. Well, after today, you're going to say, I have no way to stand. If mm-hmm. I don't eat unhealthy and start getting healthy foods, I'm only lying to myself.
That's exactly right.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right. And I have something called the five roadblocks to your weight loss. And aspect number four is your perception of lack of time or money. It's a myth that somehow has been put into your head by whoever, I don't even know. But we're about to take that, we're demystifying that like this second.
Yes, and you're not going to have any room to stand. I mean, Robert, this is such the stuff that you have put out there, okay? Mm-hmm. And this has, you know, this article that's in HuffPost went all over the place and other places too, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I read it and I'm like, okay, here it is, this is what it's saying, and we're like, why is this not getting out even more, and why aren't we being educated from, you know, the doctors, you know, that all the doctors say, well, just, you know, eat less, move more, go, you know, get on a diet, go see a weight loss, mm-hmm. so it's like a revolving door anyways. Yep. And then we go to these trainers that all they're about is the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I you know what, if they're looking for aesthetic, there's a whole lot of things. My life is very, very, very complicated as far as weight loss is concerned. Yeah. And everybody just automatically thinks that you're not doing what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. So here's the question, okay? And this is good because we're going to demystify this. And it's a myth not to be able to eat on a budget healthy. Mm-hmm. You can do it. And Robert, here's my question to you.
Yes, sir.
You wrote this article. You've been saying this for a long time because you said this, folks across America are under a misconception that you need to have mega bucks, mm-hmm. okay? You said that. Mm-hmm. And then you said also to keep in mind, if you're eating healthy, nutritional meals, getting your workout in and making your best effort to get your proper rest, you'll be running a peak at peak levels and you'll be at the top of your game. Yep.
That's exactly right.
Why is that?
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.